Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
Bart Stupak was the last Democrat to represent Northern Michigan in Congress. Does a Democrat have a chance this year?
A Democrat usually does not do well north of Lansing.
A conversation with former Congressman Stupak coming up in just a few moments on the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. But first, science. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for joining us. There's a whole world of rock-eating fungi just underneath our feet, right here in northern Michigan. And it could have a surprising connection to climate change. That is the finding of a new study from University of Michigan researchers who have just unearthed how diverse life is within a geologic formation called the Antrim Shale. IPR's Climate Solutions reporter Vivian Law has more.
The Antrim Shale is a massive rock formation beneath Michigan that stretches in an arc from Manistee up to Petoskey, then toward Thunder Bay on Lake Huron. It's a major source of the natural gas used in homes across the state. And scientists have long believed that these ancient carbon deposits cannot support fungi because there's little sunlight or oxygen, until now.
People have always assumed that fungi are either not there or not abundant.
Quinn Moon is a PhD candidate in fungal biology at U of M who led the study. He and a team of researchers took water samples from the Antrim Shale about a third of a mile beneath the surface and found evidence of more than 680 likely species of fungi, including the discovery of 13 potentially new species. The finding suggests that the deep subsurface of the Earth is just as diverse as another well-studied source of fungal life, ocean water.
When it comes to fungi, we think that we've probably only documented about 5% of the total diversity, and that's without ever including the subsurface. So questions about the total amount of diversity and where it is, those are still very pressing, and if even more pressing, given that we have this whole new ecosystem to investigate.
When it comes to the Antrim Shale, Moon says microbes eating the rock produce methane, which could be contributing to the natural gas deposits extracted by power companies.
That's how much microbial life is happening in the subsurface.
That raises questions about how microbes may be impacting the long-term storage of carbon beneath the surface, carbon scientists thought was safely locked underground. And the release of carbon into the atmosphere is a major contributor to climate change. Greg Bonito is a professor at Michigan State University who studies fungi and wasn't involved in the study.
It's impressive to think about that microbes just have huge implications on all these processes that we kind of depend on or that have shaped and continue to shape our planet.
Moon said the next step is to find out more about some of these organisms, which haven't been studied at all before. Like, how did they get so deep in the earth? How have they adapted to an environment with no oxygen?
We don't have it all figured out, and we will keep being amazed by the diversity and also the roles that these organisms are able to fill, because we clearly don't understand all of them yet.
He says that discovery is the exciting part about science. For IPR News, I'm Vivian Law.
This November, 10-year incumbent Republican Congressman Jack Bergman faces a challenge from Democrat Callie Barr. A rematch, actually, would be a better thing to call it. Barr first ran against him in 2024. Could a Democrat actually win this seat? Well, who better to ask than the last Democrat to represent the 1st Congressional District, Bart Stupak. We spoke yesterday morning. You held the office from 1993 to 2011. What shifted it to Republicans? I'm thinking about the 2010 election. That was the Tea Party wave election. Was it that? Was it a change in the district itself?
No, this area, they changed the boundaries a couple of times, but it's always been a pretty solid Republican district. Before me, and I'm the only Democrat ever to serve consecutive terms, and I did 9 times, but before me, then it was Ray Clevenger for one term. He was elected after the Kennedy assassination in, that had been 64 to 66. And then before that, it was during FDR's term. It was 1932. So a Democrat usually does not do well north of Lansing.
How did you do well?
Well, you have to put together coalitions. And I was able to put together a coalition. I was a moderate Democrat. And tell you the truth, I ran my own race away from the National Party. You didn't see all kinds of money pouring in from outside groups to support Bart Stupak. I stayed in my own lane. I knew the people. I trusted their instincts and voted their how they wanted me to vote in Congress. And we would show up everywhere. So you got to put together a coalition. That's all there is to it.
You endorsed Kelly Barr in the primary. I assume that endorsement will carry over to the general. What are you telling her? Are you in contact with her and talking about advice on the race that she's about to run?
Yeah, we talk periodically. She's got an opportunity here because, as you saw, election results throughout the country, and you've seen it, people have been there a while. They want them out of there. They feel that the politicians who've been there haven't fulfilled their promises, are deaf to their needs, and they want change. And Kelly Barr would be a great change to, a 10-year incumbent congressman. So I think that alone helps her out quite a bit. It could very well be a wave election, but what she has to do between now and November is never stop. You got to be everywhere. And it's very difficult in a district this size, but you have to do it.
35 counties in the district's present form, I believe.
Right.
So she's got a tailwind of antipathy toward the status quo. What are the headwinds?
Get the Democrats come home. You got to get these moderate or the Democrats who've been voting Republican to come back home. They're there. But you have to have the message to bring them back to the party.
The Democrats who are farther away from the center, who voted for Kyle Blomquist or another candidate, who supported maybe Abdul El-Sayed in the Senate primary, do you think they're going to come into the Kelly Barr camp when all is said and done? Is it more about flipping the chamber for them, or is it more about the candidate for them?
I think and hope it's about flipping the candidate. Yeah, she has to bring them into the fold, and she has to reach out to them. It's going to be a pretty moderate election, or moderate people will determine the November election. Not the far left, not the far right. It's going to be the moderates that are going to determine the election.
You are a law partner at a firm in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
You're paying attention, obviously, to politics. You're endorsing Kelly Barr. You did in the primary. It makes me wonder, do you miss being in Congress?
No.
That's a quick answer.
When I left, I was ready to leave, and I wanted to retire on my own terms. And, I was in the State House and in Congress for 18 years. I still enjoy it. I still look at the numbers. I was up late last night looking at crisis throughout the country because I know many of these people. And I still enjoy it, but I'm not out there like used to be.
Former Congressman Bart Stupak, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Ed.
Bart Stupak represented Northern Michigan in Congress from 1993 to 2011. Tomorrow on The Lowdown, does a Michigan Supreme Court ruling over Line 5 have implications for other projects as well? Vivian Law will explore that tomorrow on the Friday Lowdown. I'm Ed Ronco. Our producer is Austin Rolater. Steve Junker is our editor. Music is by Blue Dot Sessions. That's it for us on this Thursday, August 6th. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Years ago, a producer for the podcast Radiolab wanted to know the answer to one simple question. Why do humans have butts?
There's two parts to the butt. There's the butt that's the muscle, and then there's the butt that's the fat.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different theories about why we have fat butts. There's no real consensus.
Getting to the bottom of it led producer Heather Radke on kind of a weird journey. one that involved a pig on a treadmill, a lot of horses, and one very determined man running through the desert. I'm Dan Wanshura, host of Points North. On Thursday, August 20th, we'll dissect this Radiolab episode together and talk with Heather about what it was like to produce it. That's Thursday, August 20th at the Filling Station in Traverse City. It's at 7 and it's free and open to everyone. You just got to RSVP, do that online, and find more info at pointsnorthpodcast.org.